This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast, with over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6-plus years in that game's media combined. But we throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on YouTube and 8 a.m. for the podcast on iTunes and other services. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopcultures.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopcultures. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your pop culture's love to your fellow man, head over to popcultures.com/shop. We can buy some ill-fitting clothes. Well, they fit fine for me.
It's comfortable as hell, man. Like, this material is dope.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's like the pre-cardboard ones.
I'll wear them at home. I just won't wear them when I like go to the shops.
Yeah, because it's a little snow.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's little cups.
Yeah. I mean, it gives me a muffin top.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know I live in Corio, but I don't want to have that. Don't want to have that label put on me just yet.
But yeah, how are you, man?
Good, man.
Yeah, how's things?
Great.
Yeah. No, what kind of things have you been up to?
Just trying to keep the kid occupied during school holidays.
Yeah.
Getting a bit harder and harder.
Just running out of shit
to do. As time
goes
on, you start to run out of things to do. I've still got a couple aces up the sleeve.
Ooh, what do you got?
Remember the board game I bought when we were at PAX, Munchkin Zombies?
Yes.
Yeah, haven't played that yet. So that's
very nice.
That's on the bench to play. We've been buying a couple of games in the PSN sale.
Yeah.
Getting a couple of those good indies I've been wanting to catch up on.
We'll get to that in what games you're playing.
Other than that, yeah, that's it. Mm. Yeah, just being a dad on school holidays. That's life. Back to work last week.
Yep.
It's cool. It's a good job, actually. Yeah. I enjoy it.
Well, I'm still off work. Cool. Thanks to my beautiful surgeries. I go back, the day this goes up, I go back to work tomorrow. It's been fun. Inside still hurt.
Yeah.
But rather than like previous, it was the wounds that hurt. Now it's the muscles that hurt. Because they cut through muscle, right? It's got to rebuild and like, doesn't have the strength it once was. Like, I've never been, like, clearly a buff dude. But, like, I had a pretty strong core from sucking my guts in for years. That's gone.
Yeah.
So to make it worse, everyone's like, oh, my God, you had surgery and you look fatter. I'm like, no, I'm just not sucking in like I used.
We can rebuild. We'll get
there. we can rebuild.
We'll get there. But all that time off has, of course, given you a bit of time to play.
It has. Game. I've played a lot of games, actually. It's been really good.
You've actually ticked a few off.
I have. So
I'll let you go. I know you're excited. So
as
you
of last week, my resolution, my gaming resolution or gaming goal for this year was to see more credits in games. After the 60-plus games that I played last year for the Pop Culturist, I finished two of them.
But you can't name one of them.
No. I was adamant that it was three.
Oh, right.
But I've conceded and I've gone it back down to two. Mm-hmm. So the two we finished was The Lost Legacy and Uncharted. I'm positive there was a third, but for life of me, I can't remember what it was. So I just conceded it down to two to be nice. Mm-hmm. So my goal for this year was pretty simple. Just see more than two.
13 days in,
I've seen three. Now, granted, two of them are backlog games that I started last year, and one of them is a brand new one. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to count them as both. I'll keep a separate lists. I'll keep a backlog list and a games in 2018 list.
Because we already had a little bit of a back and forth about the eligibility.
Because I've as someone that never really very rarely finishes games, I'm like, I'm personally proud of myself. This is fucking cool.
I'm proud of you.
And you're like, you can't tick, fuck you.
I'm proud of you, but you know, finishing 25% of a game in a year isn't really finishing that game.
Well, I call it clearing the backlog, start to finish. So. Yeah, if I had to finish game start to finish, we wouldn't see any games until like Feb because there's not much coming out. But like,
so what have you been playing?
I've been playing.
Well, what have you finished?
So I finished The Fractured Butthole.
Yep.
Fucking awesome, which I already knew. Like I've gushed about this game enough. The ending was so beautifully just abrupt.
Yeah.
So,
no, don't say the ending. I mean, it's still pretty.
There's one cool. I won't mention this thing, but there's one thing you do towards the end which is really cool. It's called Farts of Future Past. where you use your asshole to go back in time and fight yourselves as the Stick of Truth characters.
Oh, that's cool.
It was awesome.
That's very cool.
And then you physically fight yourself as the king for Stick of Truth.
Yep.
Really cool. So that was all good to get that done. I didn't push for any like additional trophies or anything. I just kind of did enough to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I may jump into the DLC. I think the DLC that's out currently is like challenge rooms, which I can't be dicked with. But when the like the Casa Bonita expansion comes later in the year,
yeah,
I'll be right up in that. I think. Yeah. From start to finish, I finished Firewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, that's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I bought it probably like 8 months ago for like $10. I'm like, oh, this will be really good. I'll play this one day.
Well, it's on the PlayStation sale now for like $8.
Yeah, I think the PlayStation sale wraps up by the time this goes up. But
no, it wraps up on the 20th.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, so it's you play as Henry, who's this isn't really supposed, this is the setup, right?
Mm.
So you have a partner named Laura, I believe. It's in the build up, sort of like, you know, you meet at a bar, you become friends, you start dating and whatever, and you sort of, you know, you're together, you get married, all that sort of stuff, and then you start to realize, then you discover that your wife has early onset Alzheimer's. So it's all about her, like, you know, she starts degrading and all that sort of stuff, and she moves back to Australia, Melbourne, where she's from.
Ew.
Yeah, I was like, well, to live with her parents. So what you do is sort of like an escape, just to be like away from the world for a while, is you go to this rainforest. What are they called?
Reservation?
Like a reservation.
Preservation? Nature reserve?
Nature reserve, thank you.
There you go.
Like a nature reserve, and your job is to be the fire watch. Like, you sit in a giant tower and you watch people and you wander around, and yeah, and like, it's really fascinating because it's outside of a couple of silhouettes, you don't see any other characters in the game. The only thing you have is a walkie talkie and to communicate with one of the other towers, and this is where the game shines in how it delivers the dialogue, how it can do so much about character growth, character development, just the connections between you and Delilah, who's the other voice.
Some good psychological storytelling.
Yeah, it's like, it's really sort of cool because like, it's just about how the relationship builds purely through dialogue. And yeah, and then this last little twist in the middle there that kind of gets your heart racing a little bit. And because it's only you and you're wandering around this giant open reserve, you're like...
How long, like, play time?
About 4 hours.
That's all right. That's cool. I reckon I'll pick it up before the sale is up. Because I've been wanting it for ages. Mm. I've just never really had the time. But we do have the time at the moment until the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, I was kind of looking at, you know, what am I going to get next when I finish what I'm playing at the moment too. So.
Yeah, so I've got about 93% of the trophies or something.
Ooh.
Just by you kick off
the year with the platinum.
There's no plat.
Oh,
but okay. I was looking at, because if it was a plat, I would have pushed for a plat. I'd be like, first game of the year plat, what up?
Yeah.
But no, there's like no plat. There's just a get 100% trophies. And there's a couple there that kind of need you to play through it again. I'm like, oh, I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
I'll play, because there's like a audio log version where the developers will do commentary while you play it.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that'd be interesting, but I'm not quite ready for that now. Yeah. Like, right now, I want to play a new game. I want to finish another game.
So you also finished?
So I also finished God of War 3 Remastered on the PS4. Bought that game last year sometime. Got about 60% of the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished the last of it off yesterday.
Sucked you into screenshot mode, didn't it? I came over and you're like, dude, look at all these screenshots I've taken after being like, photo modes are... Photo modes are dumb.
I'm like, yeah, but I didn't get to take photos of Kratos earlier. I'm like, now I can. I'm like, dope.
Yeah.
So, finished that off. Man, because I've never actually finished that game. Even when I was on PS3, I got kind of round about where I was before I started, picked it back up yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday at the time of recording. So it was all brand. The ending was all brand new to me. It's kind of lackluster. Like, fighting Zeus was cool, but it wasn't kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, you fight him like a 2D plane. It was really boring. But then you get the end. You get this sort of like first person mode where you like do all the chains in first person.
That's cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah. And I'm very proud of you for this one. But I understand you actually got back into The Last of Us.
I did because like The Last of Us was going to be my next one. And it still is my next one. So when I booted up the game, I'm like, I have fucking no idea where I am in this game. So I'm like, nope, let's start it again.
You legit haven't played it for 4 years.
Because I checked the save and it was like, yeah, August 2014. I'm like, yeah I'm starting this again, I think. And like, I've played the start of this like 3 times now or something. So like, I remember it so well and it's just beautiful and it's such a good looking. Because right now, because I'm playing it on a PS4 Pro, so I'm playing it at 2160p with HDR, 60 frames. It's beautiful.
So many buzzwords.
Like, so many buzzwords, but, like, it really adds, like, the way the characters move is really fluid, and it's a bit more real than, say, 30 frames is fine, but, like, to me, this adds more of a naturalness to it. Mm. And the HDR makes incredible lighting.
I remember seeing a Fine Brothers video a while ago of, you know, people reacting to The Last of Us, and, you know, especially that first cutscene, everyone cried.
I was a mess.
I put a still in our group chat last night of Sarah, like, dying, and I even looking at it, I was like, oh, man.
I was a mess on the couch.
Man, yeah. It just gets, especially when you've got a kid now.
Yeah, because it's a whole different meaning for me now, which is great. But yes, I'm about 2 hours into it, I think. Yep. 3, maybe?
Yep. You should be able to knock it out under under 10.
I reckon I'll be able to get it done in the next couple of days, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah. I know GTA has double money this weekend.
GTA has double money this weekend, but I think I might dive in. Nah. Might for a little bit. Yeah. Come on. Nah. Come back in a little bit.
Nah, it's too much else to play at the moment.
Yeah. I'm having a damn good time. What have you been playing?
So I bought a few indies. The PSN sale has been really good. So I had to flick through. Picked up a few games I've been wanting for a while, but never really kind of bit the bullet. One of them was one you stole from me with Matterfall.
Oh, yeah.
We did get sent a code for Matterfall last year, and instead of putting it on the shared pop culture account, it went straight to his account. So that game is so fucking good, yeah, man. It's good, isn't it? I mean, it really is a style of game I love. Whether it's an isometric bullet hell or a 2D platforming, you know, bullet hell, it's just such a tight, bright, like, really nice looking game. And it really kind of, I'm on the last boss, and I was stuck on him for like an hour as of last night, so I haven't quite ticked that off yet. But really kind of sunk in, you know, towards the end of it, where I was like, it is such a shame that Housemarque can't do this anymore. Now, having said that, the playtime is only about 3 or 4 hours. So if I did pay $30 for it, for like full price, I would have been a bit, you know. But I paid $10 for it. So to me, that's money well spent.
Yeah, like, we took a big dent out of it. Like, I think I streamed for about 2 hours and I took a big dent out of it.
Yeah,
like, way more than I thought I was going to.
The thing with the Housemarque games is because they are typically, you know, arcade-style shooters, is that, you know, you're kind of meant to do the score-hunting thing, you know, get on the leaderboards and all that. That's not really for me, but that's where the replayability comes from for a lot of people.
And pushing yourself with a
difficulty. Yeah, but, you know, and I went back after I had these thoughts yesterday about, you know, fuck, it sucks for Housemarque. I went back and read their statement and they were saying, you know, to make our money back, because of the amount of polish that goes into these games and the amount of effort, we have to charge this much. Like, we don't have a choice. We need to make our money back, and this is what we have to charge. And, you know, unfortunately, the thing is that not a lot of people wanted to buy them for that price. But for what the price it is now, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Also went and bought Trine 2. Do you know the Trine series at all? 2D puzzle platformers. The second one is anyway. I think the third one, they went into like 3D puzzle platformers and the ratings just fucking dropped. But it's, you know, very highly rated. It was out in like 2006 or something.
Okay.
But it's a 3D, 2D game. You know, the very bright, like very, lots of depth to the colour. And basically, you know, you go through all these levels. You got three characters you rotate between, you know, the wizard, the assassin, and the knight. And you can only get certain parts, pass certain parts using one of those characters.
Okay.
Or a mixture of both of their abilities together, you know, all that kind of stuff. Very challenging. Been playing it fully co-op with my son, Alex. It's a very challenging game, but it's really rewarding too. Kind of, you sit back and look at the whole screen and you go, how the fuck do I need to get from here to here? There's all this stuff in the middle. How the fuck do I get there? And then you kind of go, you know, I'll use this character to do this, and then I'll swap to this one and move that there, then he can jump there. And it's just really satisfying to get through those puzzles.
Uh-huh.
Very enjoyable. And I picked up Helldivers as well. I'm in a real, like, twin-stick mode, like, twin-stick shooter mode, yeah? So we'll be picking up Nex Machina probably tonight,
yeah, that'll
actually
be the isometric.
Yeah.
Bullet hell.
But, I don't know, like, Helldivers I've been wanting for a while. I know it was on PS Plus last year, I just didn't add it to the library. Very highly rated, but it's just not doing it. It's not doing it for me. It's very, it's a lot more heavy, a lot kind of slower.
You like the fast, the speed.
Yeah,
of
I like the, like, think like back to Housemarque, Dead Nation, and Alienation, like those kind of games, like really quick. I don't know. I'm going to give it a bit more time. I've given it about 2 hours, but it doesn't feel good to play. I don't know whether the controls haven't clicked for me yet or what. But it was $7, so you know, if it doesn't work out for me, it doesn't work out for me. You mentioned your resolution was to see more credit screens. Mine is to finish every game I purchase this year, because I've wasted so much money the last couple of years, just buying games I've never gone back to or traded in like a week later. I'm going to be a bit more picky with what I spend my money on. Okay. You know, actually get through them. Give them time.
Like I agree with what you're saying. And is that is a decision. Like, you know, I've picked up a ton of games last year, obviously.
Of course, the games we get sent to review or give impressions on or whatever.
Do they count as you have to finish them? No, they don't.
Games I personally want that we don't get codes for.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
The ones I have to spend my money on, if you know what I mean.
Because like, there were some games that we did have to spend like our money on. Like, I bought Destiny. Like, it's the only one that I really, truly regret is Destiny because I didn't put as much out. Like, a lot of the other games, if I put 4 hours into it and I've come out of it being like, yeah, that was good, then that was enough for me. Like,
I got my time. I'm satisfied with my time for money I got with Destiny because I put in probably nearly 30, 40 hours
into it. You kicked
ass. So I'm satisfied on that in that respect of Destiny. I got my money's worth, but... Flash in the pan, really. Yeah.
Speaking of flash in the pans, let's kick into the news, where we tell you about all the news that's happened in PlayStation this week in a section we called Inform the Players. I literally forgot for a second there.
Yeah, I noticed. I was wondering if you were going to say it at all, actually. Got some decent news this week. We got seven things. They're all quite interesting in one way or another. Number one, if day one of Overwatch League is any indication on how the inaugural season is going to play out, I'm going to start that again. If day one of Overwatch League is any indication of how the inaugural season is going to play out, then we're in for a treat. During the explosive matchup, esports commentator and director of Twitch marketing Ben Goldhaber confirmed that the Overwatch League stream peaked at 415,000 viewers, completely blowing his viewership estimates out of the water. According to Eurogamer, Overwatch League also dominated the Twitch viewing charts during that time, surpassing top League of Legends and PUBG streamers. There's also a companion app for the Overwatch League. The app provides fans with constant updates, live scores, and standings across the entire competition. And you can get it on an App Store or Google Play. Did you jump into it at all?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. It's so... Like, so we got on the community Discord, we were kind of chatting through it a little bit. And it's cool talking about a video game like sports. Like, you know... Oh, this team, you know, this player on this team is, you know, he's a gold standard player for, you know, he's the best tank going around. It's just the production value is so high, and it's just, it really is like legitimately like history. Like, it is gaming history, and, you know, we can be here from the start to witness it as well. Got my favorite team, Boston Uprising. Boston Uprising is a team of the coach legitimately said, I want players that aren't the best in the world that I can mold, that I can make the best in the world, not that they are already. So they're kind of the underdogs of the competition. You know, they're not doing so well at the moment, but it's expected. Yeah, you know, you can get invested in them and be on that journey with them to champion gold.
Yeah, very nice.
It's cool. I'm really digging it. I'm obviously not going to watch every single game ever, but...
Yeah, so, like, Overwatch, to me, was a bit of a flash in the pan. Like, I picked it up and had a lot of fun with it. Like, I
haven't played it for about 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm done with playing it, but I'm enjoying watching it a lot.
Yeah. I'm unsure when it comes to, like, esports still. I don't think I found one that matches what I want. Mm-hmm. Like, Overwatch was cool, but I'm like, I don't really care enough about the characters or it to really
dive into it. Not really about the characters.
No, but it's the game itself. Like, even when it comes to sports, like, I'm not going to watch cricket because cricket bores me. It's the game that bores me.
Yeah.
The players could be the best entertaining people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Game doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, enough.
You know what I mean? So, like, once I find that right game that ticks my boxes for esports, I think I'll be in. But I don't know what that is.
Helps open the gate to a lot of other things as well.
Like, I am watching a lot more Twitch these days, trying to sort of get myself in, you know, because we're streamers and we like when people watch us. I'm like, let's repay the favor. Like, let's jump into some other streams.
Yeah. But yeah, hoping, you know, if this keeps going well, that obviously, like I said, opens the doors for other games to start trying similar things. So, you know, wish it all the success. I'm enjoying it.
So maybe with my twitching, it might push me into a bit more esports. Like, maybe over time, I might just kind of fall into it. Yeah. You watch a lot more Twitch than I have, so haven't you?
I watched it big when I was like right into Gwent, like watching you know, really entertaining Gwent streamers. But other than that, I'm in and out. If I'm sitting on the couch, look at my YouTube subscription list. Nothing there. Jump over to Netflix and go meh. I'll jump on Twitch and just find something.
Yeah.
Normally, I'd find a new game that I haven't played before with a lot of viewers, and seeing if it looks looks kind of interesting. Number two, Rockstar Games has announced that GTA Online has broken its player record 4 years after the release of the game. According to Rockstar, December 2017 saw more players in GTA Online than ever before, although an official player count was not released. Back in November, it was announced GTA 5 had sold in 85 million copies and is currently one of the best-selling video games of all time, ranking at number one in the US, according to the NPD Group. Given the massive success of both GTA 5 and GTA Online, it's no wonder Rockstar is bringing online mode to Red Dead Redemption 2 when it launches later this year.
Woo!
So we attributed to that, I think.
Yeah,
we were playing it for a little bit.
Yeah, there was you.
Oh, no, wait.
There was you.
No, I didn't play it in December.
Bullshit.
Oh, no.
We did.
I think the first night I played it was New Year's Eve. I was playing, because we rung in the new year playing GTA Online.
We did indeed.
Yeah, actually, no, I would have contributed in December.
Yeah, that's so fun. There's you, there's me, there's Craig, there's Josh Anderson, there was Max, you know, there was Liam as well.
Popsy crew doing
so the five thing. Of us, the Popsy community doing all right.
What did you call our motorcycle game?
Sons of Popsy.
So I can change lame.
It. I don't know. I think
I'm like embarrassed to be a part of it.
Give me a better one and we'll go with it. Right, like Hell's Angels or something. Like, I've already breached copyright. Let's make it worse. Yeah, which
Geelong
is,
Cats.
Yeah, no, fuck yeah. I love GTA Online. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It makes perfect sense.
It is.
And it was cheap as shit on
this. Yeah, it was. $39.95 on PSN. I guess, like, I've never played Red Dead 1, but I know it's, you know, heavily lauded for its amazing story and whatnot. Now, we saw this shift in GTA 5 where all the single-player content just didn't happen because all the money was in online.
Yeah.
Yeah? And I don't know. I don't want them to have pulled back from the story of Red Dead 2 to focus more on
online. I don't think there was. I think the main, like, because there was never any story expansions for Red Dead, ever. Because with the way that game ends, it doesn't lead to like outside of
I know how it ends.
Outside of Undead Nightmare, which is essentially not a retelling, but it was like different. It's like an alternate universe story. Same, still John Marsden, but it's different, right?
Yeah.
So that
sorry, I had to send a text.
That's right. So outside of Undead Nightmare, they didn't really add to the story. So I don't have that concern. Like, yes, GTA 4 had story expansions with, like, the Lost and the Damned and the Ballad of Gay Tony, and they were really, really good. But they came... This is something we talked about... no, I don't think we talked about on the show, but, like, Rockstar were consistently making a couple of games every year for a good period of time. Mm. And that was being done to... fund their franchise, fund GTA.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not done because they want to make a new game. It was done... Well, and the only way we as a company can get more money is to make more games.
Yeah.
So let's make some smaller games that kind of pump the budget a bit.
Yeah.
GTA Online is making enough money for them not to negate that as an idea anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to see single-player mode of Red Dead
kind of held back. It won't. Like the team at Rockstar, I think they hold too much importance in good storytelling to do that.
Yeah.
And granted, a lot of the stuff that I do believe was supposed to be single player story DLC became DLC for online, which was free anyway.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's
cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I do. Really want to get through Red Dead 1 before Red Dead 2 comes out.
Yeah.
But I won't feel that rush until Red Dead 2 gets a date.
Yeah.
When it's got a date, it's like, okay. By this time, I need to finish it. But until while it's up in the air, I have no inclination to kind of fire it up.
And I think Red Dead 2's online will be dope as well.
I heard Red Dead 1's online was quite enjoyable.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of very small mini games. It wasn't really like a big open... You could dick around in the open world, if I remember right. But you can't, not like you could in GTA.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you go play horseshoes, you go play poker. With this, I think they'll have literally a huge Western world you can fuck around in.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'll definitely get it. Number three, a bit of Dark Souls news, just randomly.
Which you've been playing as well, Dark Souls
3?
Which I
have been playing. Not this year, though.
Ah.
I haven't played it since the new year. Just it's a hard game.
I
think I said it last week. It's a hard game, but when I play Dark Souls, I need to sit down and be left the fuck alone from anything else and just... TV has my 100% focus.
So you got dad night tonight? You might jump
dad, I might jump into it tonight. But yeah, it's hard when you've got a 9-year-old who needs to be stimulated. So I haven't bothered even trying it at the moment. But I wasn't stuck. I didn't stop playing it because I was stuck in an area. So I don't have that barrier to fire it back up again. Anyway, Dark Souls Trilogy box set has been announced for PS4 in Japan with a host of additional content.
This is with the announcement of the Dark Souls remaster.
I was gonna. Yeah. But, you know, okay, if you want to jump.
Because you mentioned the trilogy, it's like, well, Dark Souls 1 isn't coming. Like, yeah, it is. It is.
The collection will include all three games and launch on May 24th, according to Japan's Dark Souls site. In addition to the three Dark Souls games, the collection includes all of the DLC for each game. It also includes the soundtracks for each game, a pair of bookends, 10 art prints along with a frame. Rounding out the collection are three physical dictionaries containing images and descriptions for every item in the Dark Souls series. The cost is 49,800 yen.
Okay.
Which is
at 400 and I think it's pretty much you chuck the threes, chuck the zeros off at the back end, and you've pretty much got the US price. So it's like 498 US.
Not quite, 560 Australian, 450 US.
Shit, that's
roughly, give or take a few bucks. It's just like I went to Google and did did the conversion thing. Western release unfortunately has not been announced for that, but it looks fucking dope.
It looks dope.
It looks so. Couldn't never afford it. No. But yeah, also Dark Souls 1 is getting the remaster treatment. Yep. Along it's coming to Switch
Which oddly got announced at the Nintendo Mini.
It's very telling that something like that was announced first at a Nintendo event. I don't know, it's just
side PlayStation conversation. It's a huge get for Nintendo.
Fucking oath it is.
Like, having that on the Switch is fantastic. Yeah. But like, what's impressive is they're like, hey, it's coming to the Switch. Oh,
also,
and PS4 and PC, Xbox One and PC, they're all getting the remaster.
Yeah. My concern with Dark Souls on the Switch would be similar problem I had with Doom. The Joy-Cons just don't do it. And if you're going to play it docked with a Pro Controller, you may as well, if you have it, get it on a PlayStation.
Exactly.
But it is, you know, it is said to be running at 60 frames and all that, you know, humbo jumbo jazz.
720, 60 probably.
Yeah. What was the release date for that remaster?
May?
May was for that big box set. Dark Souls 1. Sorry, I meant to look this up beforehand. I just forgot.
Here's everything you need to know. No release date.
Thanks, Forbes. Here comes an ad with the top right
fucking
button.
Fucking Forbes and their ads. I don't know.
But they write good articles, though. They do good articles. Here we go. Continue to article with the quote of the day. All failure is failure to adapt. All success is successful adaption.
Yeah, whatever. What's the date?
Yep. So PS4 1080p, 60 frames. Xbox
upscaled 4K to 60. All right, that's good.
Yeah, upscaled 4K on Xbox One X and PS4 Pro. No, it is May 25th.
Yeah, button.
Yeah, May 25th. Fucking so man. The same date as that massive box set, which you can import because PS4 isn't region locked if you feel so inclined.
Number and if you have $5 to spend. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool announcement.
Just everything of it. Like, the thing I love about Dark Souls and Bloodborne is the aesthetic. That Victorian, especially Bloodborne, but that Victorian gothic. I remember in Dark Souls when I think I sent a photo to our group chat of that dragon that just came down. It's on the castles with the
In Dark Souls 1, there's the same thing. You cross the bridge and this dragon just fucking lands. Yeah. And you're like,
and just, oh, you know, man. The castles with the yellow cast sky and everything. I don't know. It just,
it's good.
Makes me nipples hard.
Good games.
Number 4, Sony has revealed the most downloaded games on the PSN store Gooms, in 2017. You spelled
games wrong. Top PSN Gooms. Thank you.
There you go. PS Blog also provide a list of the most downloaded PS Vita and PS VR games.
Just worldwide or American?
It's important to note that these lists are ranked in terms of downloads and not revenue. It doesn't say if it's worldwide or American, though. It's on the PlayStation Blog, though, so
I'm going to safely assume America.
For PS4, the top 5 selling PSN games for 2017 were starting at number 5, GTA 5, Horizon Zero Dawn, Friday the 13th, Destiny 2, and Call of Duty World War 2.
Makes sense.
The Call of Duty slipping in there is pretty big, considering it came out in the latter.
Yeah, but like Call of Duty always does big numbers, yeah. Man. Like, always.
I hate it, though.
Friday the 13th is pretty impressive.
Mm. Yeah, they're making bank on that game. Yeah, I picked that up, too, like, over Christmas break. Don't rate it.
No.
Nope. I don't rate it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. For Vita, starting number 5, Persona 4 Golden.
Hey.
Number 4, Minecraft PlayStation Vita Edition. Hey. Number 3, Jack and Daxter Collection. Hey. Number 2, Adventure Time, The Secret of the Nameless Kingdom. Oh. And number 1, God of War Collection.
Hey! Got it!
And for VR, I want you to, because I know you're big in VR.
Oh, okay.
I want you to start to guess. Just give me what you think the top 5 are.
Okay, top 5 VR.
Yeah.
For 2017, I'm thinking VR Worlds may still be on there. We got probably Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Are those three correct?
Skyrim's not.
Skyrim's not.
Not okay. In the top 5. Skyrim was like number 7 or 8.
Did Resident Evil get considered?
No.
Okay.
So you're right with Batman Arkham VR, you're right with PlayStation VR Worlds.
Yeah.
Three more. I think they're pretty obvious.
Is Job Simulator one of them?
Job Simulator is one of them.
Shadow Knight, that one's a B.
Something about red guns everywhere.
Red guns everywhere.
Time freezing.
Oh, super hot.
Super hot. And I expect you to die.
Oh, man, I still haven't picked that one up yet. Like,
so in order for number 5, Batman Arkham VR, number 4, I Expect You to Die, number 3, VR Worlds, number 2, Super Hot, number 1, Job Simulator.
Good list. I do want to pick up I Expect You to Die. It's like a spy game, but you're a shitty spy.
I think I've seen that. And in between 6 and 10, there was Skyrim. There was that bomb one. Keep talking and you don't explode.
Keep talking and nobody explodes.
Yeah, that one. Yep. Pretty well expected, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there was a lot on VR last year, but obviously they are the standouts. I mean, none of them really come as a surprise. Skyrim, maybe because it came out so late in the year that it didn't quite make it.
Well, I know a lot of people were uncertain about it, which is weird because, like, it's Skyrim. It's cool.
Number 5. Sony's announced that more than 5.9 million PS4 consoles were sold through to consumers worldwide during the holiday 2017 season.
Hot damn.
The company also announced that as of December 31st, 2017, the global sales of PlayStation 4 have eclipsed 73.6 million units. PS4 consoles reached the 70.6 million unit mark in early December.
Fuck.
Additionally, over 55.9 million PS4 games were sold during the holiday season in world retail stores and digitally, making for a grand total of 645 million games sold since December 31st.
Jesus.
26. So for that year, 645 million games. Sony also announced the number of PlayStation Plus subscribers has reached 31.5 million. So that's nearly 50% of their... It's about 40% of the ownership has PS Plus. So I think that's pretty good.
That's awesome.
You know, a lot of companies... You know, retail companies with like their loyalty cards and all that shit, they would kill for 40% sign-up rate. Because they usually... From the retail companies I've worked in, you'd gun for about 20. Like, if you get 20%, fucking you're golden. To get 40%, of people paying,
yeah,
that's fucking dope.
And like, we're talking like, you know, retailers that have free,
yeah,
shit.
I've actually jumped on board with that recently. I've been buying a lot of books from Dimmicks for the last 6 months,
yeah,
for my sister for her birthday, for Harley for her birthday and Christmas and all of that. And I went in there to pick up a book for Harley the other day because I had a rewards card. They're like, "Do you want one?" I'm like, "Fucking yeah, sure. I like books sometimes." I got $5 off my book because 5% of every purchase you make goes onto the card. So once you have $5 on the card, you can redeem it. And that's a good loyalty system. You like literally that. Get money for nothing.
I like that.
Good job, Dimmicks. And I got one for Lincraft as well. Because I'm buying the cubes to build my little things.
Oh, of course,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. I don't know. I got on board with it. But yeah, those numbers are fucking solid.
That's fantastic.
Fun fact, though, for December of 2017, Switch outsold Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, Switch kicked...
Switch kicked ass.
Ass yeah,
Switch
this
is
year.
Doing fantastic.
So it's still not a threat to that PlayStation... But no, it's a whole different market.
Because of the timeline, it never will be.
Yeah. But I mean, like, not in a threat in terms of numbers. Like, they're on a different scope, but it's as impressive.
I'm pretty sure it's already sold more than the Wii U did in its entire life.
In Japan, it's already sold more Switches than the Wii U ever sold in Japan.
Number, I don't know.
Whatever.
So I found this one. It's not really exciting. I just found it interesting for, you know, the state of the industry and everything like that. This is an article from MarketWatch.com. As gamers buy and download more games online, Call of Duty maker Activision Blizzard has closed its only distribution center in the US, the company said on Wednesday. The Fresno, California-based distribution operation has shut down as of January 5th. 50 people have been laid off, according to the California Employment Development Department records. The decision to close the facility comes amidst a broad shift in the gaming sector, as nearly half of consumers have opted to purchase and download console games instead of buying physical copies. I'll just read this quote from Activision, then we can chat about it. It's clear to us and to many others that console games will be 100% digital in the future, but the timing of this is hard to pinpoint. Piper Jaffray analyst Michael Olson wrote in a December note to clients, "It's important to keep in mind that in the midst of the continuing trajectory towards 100% digital future game purchases, the growth of digital add-on content continues. The positive of digital add-on content is both drives higher digital mix and creates incremental revenue." So yeah, the people are buying digitally enough now that Activision don't need a warehouse. They're only a warehouse in the US.
Yeah, that would seem like an like it to offset costs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
definitely, all right,
cool, this is costing us money. But you know what they're not going to do? Pass that on to us, the people.
Nah, God no.
So like, they're still going to charge $60 on US online for our game.
Nothing worse when you go to the
Well, like, we don't have a distribution center. Like, right now, $100, $99.95. On the PSN.
On the Australian PSN.
Australian PSN, which, yeah, therefore, you know, there's no shipping, there's no packaging, nothing physical, it's just code. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go to EB Games and get it for 60.
Yeah. Or more recently, Target and Big W.
They have a lot of bucks. Because they're slowly cutting out their games. Mm, like Kmart no longer sell games anymore.
If I can take advantage of it, if there's a AAA game you want, first check out Target and Big W.
Yeah, they're not getting everything, but they...
Yeah, yeah. But what they do get is quite shit. So I agree, really interesting.
So I agree and disagree on that. Like, I you know, yes, more people are buying digital. Mm. We're not quite there yet. In the US, maybe, with this better internet, but certainly not here in Australia.
No, definitely not. And the cost is just...
And yeah, like, yeah, I understand. Like, I understand to remove the costs to, you know, to not like the cost of running a plant warehouse like that, or a manufacturing warehouse, would be quite expensive.
Yeah,
but like, it's, yeah, it'll just seem like, well, we want more money.
Yeah,
if they don't adjust the prices.
But yeah, it seems like, you know, we're still on track for that all digital future,
which we are, and we will get there.
What we need is hard drives to accommodate this all digital.
That is true.
Because I bought a new PlayStation just before Christmas, because mine actually ended up dying. Came with a 1 terabyte hard drive. Just doesn't cut it. Just doesn't.
Get an external.
I've got one, but I don't want to. I want it all on there. So for my birthday, I'm going to get myself a big hard drive.
You know, yeah, but just 1 terabyte, get a laptop hard drive, dude.
Currently, 1 terabyte is fucked. You can, like, The Witcher 3 takes up nearly 60 gig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1 terabyte, just, you can't do it.
Yeah, so, I have 3 on my PS4, I think.
So, if, you know, if next gen ever happens, they want this all digital thing, they've got to start putting in 5+ terabytes. They have to.
Look at, like, so with the Xbox One X, I think there's a lot of people said this, like, when you download all the 4K patches, you're looking at games that are over 100 gig.
That's fucked.
That's 10% of the Xbox
One X. Not even, because you lose, like, 100 gig for the system, like, that they allocate to the system. If I go to my 1 terabyte PS4 storage, it shows me like 898 gig of total storage. So I lose 102 gig just for allocated space to keep the OS and all that running and patches and all that. So, you know, you're not even getting a terabyte technically. Mm. I wonder if there's... What's the deal?
Calm down, Jerry.
What's... Like the legality of it's like, you get a terabyte hard drive. It's like, yeah, you get a terabyte hard drive, but you don't get to use that terabyte.
Like, well, technically it's a terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, I know. It seems kind of filthy when you look at it that way.
It does, totally does.
Seems a bit dirty.
But like, when they ship it to you.
But they never say you get a terabyte of storage space. They just say it's a terabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
Which there is, but, you know.
What I would like to see in the future, which is very unlikely and will add an additional cost to the console, like we're talking PS5s here, if they have like a built-in 150 gig terabytes SSD that you can't access. That's just purely for
150 terabytes.
Sorry, gigabytes. Sorry, my apologies. 150 gigabyte just SSD that's in there solely to
more
run
in the internals. You can't access.
You can't fuck with it. Yeah. And then when you have a terabyte hard drive, it is entirely a terabyte. Yeah. That would like be a good way around it.
I wouldn't mind that.
Well, bump the price a bit, but worth it.
Second last bit of news. The Writers Guild of America has announced its nominees for Best Video Game Writing for 2017. Now, I only put this in because one of them really stuck out to me. I was like, what? What? With Madden NFL 18 and others making the list. A Madden game getting a writing nomination may sound odd, but this year's game had a story-focused mode called Long Shot. Featuring Oscar-winning actor Mahershala Ali. It tells the twisting and turning story of a football player's pursuit to make it to the NFL. The other nominees for this year for Outstanding Achievement in Video Game Writing include Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, Horizon Zero Dawn, and, strangely, Futurama, Worlds of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So, Futurama
Awards... Sorry, and the winner will be announced on the 11th of Feb.
Futurama Awards is tomorrow's mobile game, in very similar vein to The Simpsons Tapped Out. Right. But what they've done is they've literally got all the voice actors, all the writers, all back to do it. So...
Okay.
The Futurama got canned a couple of years back, got finally nail in the coffin. So what happened is, yeah, that the company that made this reached it when they were when part of the deal with Fox was, we want to get all the writers in, we want to get the original, we want to get original writers, we want to get the original voice actors, we want to do it all. And they're like, yep, that's fine. And then the Nerdist, to promote it, did a radio play of Futurama.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, like, that makes perfect sense because it's given the respect that it needs and it's a great, like, solid stuff.
Yeah.
Death of the Outsider, I've got nothing to say about. Horizon Zero Dawn was great, but I've heard nothing but good things about Long Shot.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, kind of, because we do rag on sports games a bit for not innovating.
I just rag on because I don't like them.
Well, I don't like them, but, you know, because it's largely the same game every year with just your roster updates and whatnot. But yeah, apparently there's Long Shot mode has got enough acclaim to be, you know, eligible for a video game writing award. So that's pretty cool. And on when they announce the winner, I'll chuck it in that week's news. Last bit of news for the week: top selling games for week ending 7th of January 2017, starting at number 10. If I can scroll down that far. Uncharted The Lost Legacy, number 9, Need for Speed Payback, number 8, NBA 2K18, number 7, Crash Insane Trilogy, number 6, FIFA 18, number 5, GT Sport, number 4, GTA 5, number 3, Assassin's Creed Origins, number 2, Battlefront 2, number 1, COD World War 2.
No surprises.
No surprise there.
No surprises at all.
Pretty standard list. GTA moving up in the sales. It's fascinating, really. You know, we'll look back on this in, I don't know.
So this is where...
Like, think in 10, 20 years, you know, it'll be like a cool, like a retrospective history piece, you know, the success of GTA 5 online.
This is where I still think that no one... They're like, each week in Australia, there's no more than, like, 5,000 games sold.
One day, we'll make it big enough where we can find out for sure. Yeah, whether we can talk about it or not, doesn't matter. But one day, we might make it up there.
Next time we go to a hands-on event and we're chatting to the PR guys, I'm up to be like, hey.
I don't think the PR guys would know.
I think they might be able to.
Get sent the list, but not numbers.
Well, because there's the NPD in the US. It's the IGEA here in Australia.
Yeah.
Joel has some buddies there.
Ooh.
Let's get some off-the-record facts.
But that's it for the news.
Yeah, when we're done with the news, we cut into the main topic, which we call talk. Is it talk? Talking or talk?
You fucked it. That's it for the news. It's time we have a chat to the players about video game release dates.
Yeah.
So, there's been a lot of discussion around Sony recently, probably from E3 2016, games not having dates. When the fuck are they coming?
I'm pretty sure I said that exact sentence.
Surely this will get a date at E3 2017. Didn't. PSX, we got to get a date.
Gamescom,
Gamescom, Paris Games Week, PSX. Surely we'll get a date for God of War or something. Nothing. Not even a window. Still. And I just find it... I'm of two minds. I hate when games get released too early, although I kind of understand why they need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you have a very firm stance. Like, you've got like a three-month rule that you've really put your foot down about recently. Three months... You announce the date, it's in 3 months' time.
Like, that is the in my beliefs, 3 months is the shortest possible time that you can get away with from a business perspective as well as a consumer perspective. So, now, especially what we're talking about now with PlayStation, right, is so God of War we've known about for 2 years. You know, there's, as an example, Days Gone we've known for about a year and a bit. Spider-Man we've known for about a year and a bit.
Detroit
we've known for about a year and a bit. 2 years. So, like, we know these games exist. So there's
Last of Us. Death Stranding. They're still putting out things for it for games that are 3 or 4 years old.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, so I get your point there. So for me it was kind of like this weird balance of like, okay, you've got the hype there. By announcing them, that starts the hype. Mm. You've now shown a lot of these games 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Give us a date. Like, you know, if they're all supposed to be coming in 2018, we're in 2018. What the fuck?
So I brought up a quote from something I want to talk about shortly as well. What I've just brought. A quote from Sean Layden had a bit
was
to
it Sean?
Say. Was it Sean? No, it was Shuhei.
Oh, it was Shuhei. All right, cool.
I said that earlier. Shuhei, what he said at PSX recently. About why they're holding back on release dates. I'm going to read that. Quote, "We definitely have learned by our mistakes of announcing release dates too early, so we'll be more cautious doing so because these days making games on PS4 generation, the ambition of the teams are making the games much bigger and more complex. It takes much longer to do. The game might get to alpha stage, everything is in, but getting them into the beta stage, the game's being tested and turned and polished, takes much longer than before. So the teams are learning as they work on this generation what they had learned before. That what they had learned before cannot apply the same way this generation. That's why we, unfortunately, have to move release dates on many titles in the past made people disappointed. And if you are not nice to us, of course, that's totally fair. So we have learned from that. Going forward, we'll be much more cautious and wait until the time that we are really confident to hit the date." So was it last year or the year before where every first party PlayStation title was delayed?
Most of them, yeah.
Or nearly every single one. Because Resident Evil
Uncharted,
Horizon
From Uncharted 4, yeah.
Yeah, even Uncharted 4 was delayed as well, yeah?
Yep.
So, I get it. I totally get it
from that business side of things. Yeah, makes 100% sense. Like, because, you know, the backlash, because once again, the internet right now, is if something doesn't come out the day it's supposed to, you're dead. Mm. Death threats. Look at No Man's Sky. It's horrendous. So, I understand why, from a PR perspective, they want to hold that shit in. But, we know for a fact right now at Insomniac Games, they are playtesting Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty far along. Mm. Yet, we still don't know whether it's even coming out. Like, we know it's 2018, but, like, when? Like, there's no... like. And on a side example as well is, I think I mentioned this last week, so Colin Moriarty made a comment on his Twitter talking to a friend of his Sony Santa Monica, sorry. And they were like, yeah, pre-orders on God of War are soft. Like, yeah, because we don't know when it's coming out.
Yeah.
If they tell me that it's coming out in March... Because right now, so using my 3-month window, it's April at this point, right? Mm. I'm like, cool. They're like, it's coming out in April. I'm like, fucking A.
Yeah.
Is there a collector's edition?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to get my wallet and throw it at them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they can't make us, like, I disagree with the idea of us making a statement like that going, well, pre-orders are down. Mm. It's because, you know, you're missing a key part of a game is when it comes out.
Okay, so it got me thinking. Sorry,
yeah, you jump in.
Got me thinking, what is your... Let's say there's a game you've never heard of before. What is your ideal pathway to getting that game from announcing it to getting it out? Like, what are time frames? Because for me, I would much rather have heard nothing about this game than we get the first trailer 6 months from release date. Game's pretty much done. It's out in 6 months.
Brand new game.
Perfect amount of time.
Brand new game, 6 months. Mm. Perfect. Because
I hate getting trailers 2 years from the game. I fucking hate it because I just hate it. I mean, I can't even... It's because it rides the hype. You get that initial hype and then it's like coming 2018 and this is 2018 and you go, oh. And then it just instantly deflates you. Whereas it was like January, you know, here's God of War trailer. It's like coming May 2017.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trailers so early and then having that window pop up or nothing pop up at all makes you instantly go, oh, and it just deflates you instantly.
Yeah, like in an example with PSX last year, I'm like, okay, if God of War is March when it's looking like we're going to need to get something, we got nothing, okay. Yeah.
And what I also don't like in more of like a predatory way from like brick and mortar stores, as soon as a game has an official title and an official trailer, you can pre-order that game with placeholder pricing. Without knowing anything else. There are certain websites now that you can already pre-order The Last of Us 2 and Death Stranding. What the fuck? I mean, they're not coming for at least 2 years.
Minimum.
And it really just, you know, it just rubs me the wrong way. Mm. Like, and you shouldn't be able to pre-order something until there's a date. Like, they shouldn't be allowed to put this stuff on their websites. Like, yeah, give us money. What do you know about the game? When's it coming? I don't fucking know.
Well, you can be refunded at any point, though.
I mean, you can do what you want with your money, but it's just the practice itself that kind of makes it...
That's the predatory nature of pre-orders, right?
Yeah. But, you know, they don't do it without reason either. Yeah. I mean, I've been looking online for a bit.
But to answer your question, I do think 6 month is the best for a brand new game, because like you need to get that. You need to get PR. You need to get marketing. You need to get press with events. You know, get them to come in and try it, do some preview event, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, that's 6 months is a good window for that. 3 months is beneficial for known commodities like
sequels.
Think about Fallout 4, right? So Fallout 4, they've gone the 6 month route. They announced the game at Bethesda's showcase on 2016, and they're like, and it's coming November, and the world fucking exploded.
Yeah. Well, that was only 3 or 4 months.
That's 5 months. Mm. 4 or 5 months.
Wait, when's E3?
June.
It's about five months.
So, like, I remember everyone's going like, oh, cool, Fallout 4, we'll get this in, 2017? What the fuck? You know what I mean? It's like, that's how you do it. And you know what the conversation was for that next 6 months? Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, fucking Fallout
And in the 4. Same window, Fallout 4 sold more copies than Skyrim did, like, because of how they went about it. Yeah. And 6 months is
perfect. Because no one got burnt out.
No.
There wasn't
1,000 trailers over 2 years to try to keep you
interested. So every bit of news that came out within that 6 months was like, fuck yes. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Everything was just like...
And there were articles, 5 months left, 4 months left, 3 months left, next month is Fallout, yeah. And it's just enough time to keep you on. Fuck yes. Yeah.
Especially because, like, you know, I understand, like, we certainly understand that games take years to develop and they take a lot of time and work. Mm. But, you know, like Days Gone as an example. So, like, Sony Bend worked that game quietly for the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so you can keep shit secret for a period of time and then just go boom.
But I think there's, what comes with it is also a lot of, what's the word? Social pressure. Like, so many events during the year and you are expected to come and have something to show. You know, and Sony have the last few years, but it's kind of like, well, we have to show these games. This is what we're working on. If we come to E3 and we show a couple of games that'll be out in the next 6 months, that's not going to get the hype. You know, we have to one up Xbox, we have to one up Nintendo, and Microsoft do the same thing. You know, and you have to bring something. I think that causes a lot of them. They look at like their slate for E3 and it's like, we need something just to top it off. I like what we've got, but we need, you know, let's put the Last of Us trailer there. And Naughty Dog are like, no, not yet. And like, no, we need something big. You know, did you see what I'm getting at?
Not confirmed
conversation. No, not at all. It's just an example. Yeah, yeah. There's just all this pressure to bring it every year.
Yeah, like, see, but the thing we got, like, one time, I keep using God of War because it's probably the
it's the most relevant.
It's the most relevant. So we said about 2016. When I got that trailer in 2016, I almost fucking cried. I was like, huh. Like, 2016's E3 was beautiful.
It opened with it, didn't it? With the orchestra.
Yeah.
It opened with that trailer, yeah? As soon as, because I'm not a big fan of God of War. I've never finished any of the games. I've played all of them, but I've never finished any of them. But when, you know, the orchestras always get me for starters. I just, something about live symphonies just really, yeah. And as soon as I heard Boy, I was like, boy. Oh shit. Like, that's Kratos. And then he came out, he's looking all like rugged. And I'm like, this looks, you know, and, but then it's like, but then it was that whole release date thing. Well, when's it coming? Don't know. 2017, E3. Don't know. PSX. Don't know. Paris Games Week. Don't know. And still now, you know, we had the early, quote unquote leak.
Early 2017 is what they've said. They have stated early 2018.
Then we had that leaked image of, you know, it saying March 22nd on the PlayStation Store. Not verified, of course. Been taken down since then. And it's just like, it's been too long. And my interest is starting to wane. Because as a casual fan,
held that until 2017 E3, and they're like, 2018, you see God of War. Like,
that's like 8 months away.
That's a good hype. You're like,
yeah,
2018, that's at least, that's 6 months away.
It's literally next year.
You know, so that game can come out anywhere between six to 18 months from now.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, that's like 6 to 18 months is enough time. Like, because they're then drip fed it over that 2 year period, or like, you know, 3 year period. An example, like Last Guardian was 10 years in the making.
Kingdom Hearts.
Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts remake is getting stupidly long at this point.
To the point they become jokes, in jokes of the industry and gamers. So I went online, I Googled, why do games get released now so early? Found a couple reasons. A lot of them make sense. I just want to talk about them. One you said, as soon as I said that, you go, investors. It's exactly right, because, you know, 2 years out, a game gets announced, investors get in, and by the time that hype train rides out and the game's released, they've made their money back plus more.
So there are a lot of investors that will invest before it gets announced as well. They need to do is, they may become a point where investors will be like, well, we need to see something on it. Because, you know, we've been funding this for 3 years now.
Yeah.
We need some return on our investment, whether that be just, we need to know that the money we're investing will go into a good place. Now, granted, we could be like, it's God of War, you're fine.
Yeah. But Mr. 65-year-old not in the know.
But to them, it's like, well, my document says that we haven't seen any return on our X amount of millions of dollars, right? Like, okay, well, let's do this. We'll release some information. We'll announce it. Get a trailer up. You'll see. And then they see that hype. They see that, like, level of interest. They're like, okay, my money's safe.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, yeah. But then, also...
And then, once you've done that, that then forces your hand to do something every couple of months or every 6 months or so until release, to ensure that people that are going to buy it still remember that game. Because we live in the digital age that we live in has such a quick flip and turnaround, people forget shit really quickly.
Yeah. But then, you know, it also goes to generating that hype. You know, the more hype, the more pre-orders, the more money, the more investors. It's a circle. The more pre-orders you're getting, the more investors want to put into it, which ends up leading to more hype, and it just goes in a vicious circle. And, you know, the earlier you announce it, the earlier you can start getting pre-orders, although we found with God of War that seems to not be working because there's no date. But it's also,
But don't get me wrong, once they announce the date and or a collector's edition, you're gonna be a tough time. Everyone will be throwing money.
But I still don't see the point in pre-ordering anything aside from a collector's edition.
Yeah,
you never that's not gonna personally, get it. Yeah. Personally, yeah, like for me, I don't believe
you spend your money how you want.
Yeah, for collector's editions, I'm like yeah, because I can't get this. But I don't believe I need to put down $10 for God of War to get on the day without just walking there and picking it up off the shelf. You know what I mean? But it's also think of games like franchise games like Call of Duty or whatever. You know, they announced next Call of Duty coming in 8 months or whatever, and the last Call of Duty game is still on the shelves in stores, you will get people that go in there and go, well, the last one's half price. I may as well get it and catch up on it before the next one comes out. And more with story-based, like think Titanfall, for example. Titanfall 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
I'll grab Titanfall 1 and I'll get caught up
I guarantee it. You a lot of people were like, oh, that fucking new God of War looks good. I might go rebuy the ones I traded in or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you already owned it?
I already owned it, yeah.
Okay. But you would have bought it anyway, right? So it is just, it's all about the cash.
Yeah.
It's all about the cash.
Because it is a business.
Yeah. But I think,
which is fine.
I think gamers as a whole are coming a little bit more aware about, you know, how hype can not be good. Like No Man's Sky, for example. What was his name? Who was in the man? Sean, the No Man's Sky dude.
Sean Murray?
Sean Murray. He can't show his face at an event ever again. Ever again.
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice guy, but he's not he should not be doing their PR. And he never will again. Whether the Halo Games make another game ever again is another thing. Because, yeah, just with the internet and everything, I think we're learning that hype is not good. And it can bite you. Especially for unproven franchises. So we'll have to see how it goes in the future. I mean, I can see all their reasons why they have to announce it early and, you know, have a trailer every 6 months or whatever. I just don't like it.
It's getting stupid.
Getting legit stupid. Like Death Stranding, for example. When we saw the initial Death Stranding, like when Kojima came out on stage, you know, I'm partnered with Sony, Kojima Productions, making a game, and then there was that first Norman Reedus short trailer. I'd be like, cool, I want to see nothing else until you've got a date for me. But no, we've had two more trailers and then an actual trailer.
But like Kojima is the hype man. He's a hype man. So like that's different, because like I believe those trailers are his decision, not like a Sony decision.
No, I get it too. But just
so for me, I think he's going, this is part of the game. Because I think he said, he's like, so when's the game coming out? The game's already started. And I love that idea, because it's like he's like saying, what I've released, I've not just released trailers. I've released very pivotal things that will that'll help explain and show the design of what I'm working on.
The Last of Us 2. That game's not coming till 2020.
We know that game's coming. We do not need to see it.
No. So we got the first trailer at PSX last year, 2016.
Yeah, with Joel, with Ali
playing the guitar and, you know, Joel, and it was really kind of cryptic, and you're like, well, what's she singing about? What does it mean? Is Joel actually there? Because she never acknowledges him. Is Joel dead? You know, got a lot of talk going. Perfect. But then we had to get another trailer this year, didn't we? Now I'm fucking pumped for this game. I want it more than anybody else, but I don't want to see too much because I'm at lockout point now. I've done that a lot recently. I'm not watching anymore. I don't know. What's wrong with dropping a trailer? We're working on it. It's coming. We'll let you know more when we know more. And just letting it go till 6 months out. It's out in 6 months.
You know, so
I feel like we're rambling a little bit now, but
no, because I've got a way to tie it into something.
Okay.
So remember at E3 last year when they had the guy from Pokemon come in and go, hey, we are working on a Pokemon Switch game. It ain't coming out this year. It's not coming out anytime soon.
Yeah.
Just so you know, it's there.
Yeah.
So my question, this is my final thing. So they just did the Nintendo Mini Direct, right?
Yeah.
A couple of days ago.
And you can already pre-order the unannounced Pokemon game at certain websites.
Fuck off.
Pokemon RPG, brackets, working title, brackets, placeholder price, $99.95. Based on what? You know what? It pisses me off to no end. Anyway, sorry.
So my question is, like, now that we're getting at a point where these dates need to be known soon,
yeah,
right? But like, there's no conferences or any events coming up. Do you reckon PlayStation should take a little bit of Nintendo and do a PSX Mini, where they pretty much just go, hey, you want a date? Here's all the dates.
I don't think so.
Granted, if they were to release a gameplay trailer next week
with a date
at the end, that would be sufficient for me.
See, PlayStation because of how passionate its user base is, they can, at this point, for the games that are coming out this year, at this point, they can rely solely on pretty much a trailer and word of mouth to do their job for them. They don't need to do it. It'd be cool if they did. I'd like to watch a PSX mini kind of a thing, you know, have, you know, the God of War director come in and sit down, you know, do a bit of a chat and go, and here's the date for it.
Yeah.
Just a 20-minute presentation or whatever. It'd be cool, but I don't think it's necessary for PlayStation. I think they're well past the point of needing to do that, whereas the Switch is still young and Nintendo can't solely rely on the word of mouth.
Well, that's their announcement method is entirely direct at this point.
Yeah, which is cool. That works for them, but I don't think PlayStation need.
I would like to see it,
but I'd like to see it though.
Personally, because I think that'd be because one of the coolest things about PSX when they did that huge panel, and it was, you know, it was Corey from Santa Monica, you know, it was like
Andrew House
and Sean Layden and the chick from chick who works at Media Molecule and, you know, like fucking Kojima's up there, like the cool people on there. If they make a little video that's just that, because it's as much as I like that
star power on
as much
stage.
As I like that panel, it was a bit free flow and relaxed, and if you had it tight, a little script. And they all dressed the camera. Like, hey, you know, we told you God of War was coming out this year. Here's a bit of a here's a quick rundown of what the story is and where it's at. This, you know, God of War sees this, 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 and this. Here's a quick gameplay trailer, and it's coming on this day. Cut. You know, and then it goes
next.
And he's like, hey, I'm Blur from Media Molecule. And we've talked about Dreams for a long time now, but this is a final lockdown of what Dreams is. Here's a new. Here's an announcement of a beta. Here's an announcement of the release date. Done. Thank you very much. Next. Hi, this is I'm Blur from Sony Bend, and here's an update of where Days Gone is. Days Gone doesn't have a date. It's coming late 2018.
It would be cool, but then I think doing one sets the expectation for them to do it a lot more.
Yeah.
And I don't think they need that expectation put on them.
No, they don't need that additional pressure. But no. I think if they're like, hey, this is a once-off because 2018 was dope.
Because you don't know what will happen, you know, between now and then, you know. They could come out and say God of War is April, and then there's an issue with it going gold. Like something happens, and it can't be April anymore. Then you've got that video, of that embarrassing video of like, we know you've been waiting, and here it is. And then there's articles like that.
Well, remember when Square did that huge fucking presentation? They got Greg Miller and Tim Gettys from Kinda Funny to come and be their MCs. And they're like, and the date is December, November, woo! Delayed to January. Like, about 3 weeks later, they delayed it again. I mean, like, that, because they made such a big song and dance about it. I think a little video is, like, not too much.
Yeah, I guess.
Not bad.
I don't know. I just want to see a little bit more restraint overall.
Yeah, restraint in getting the announcing games too early, but I think they need to be.
But
they need to
they need to
let go of those restraints a little bit and give us some fucking dates, man. I want to give you my money. Like, my plan for this year is, you know, like, granted, we're probably going to get all the first parties as codes, because we probably will. My goal, I want to buy, if there's cool statues, all first parties this year. Like, I want to show my love for PlayStation outside of just what we do here and the lovely advantage that we have of receiving codes from PlayStation. I want to put my money where my mouth is and get some quality shit.
Still not sold on Days Gone and Spider-Man.
And it's good set zone.
Not sold on them.
Days Gone, I'm in.
Days Gone, I'm not sold on. Spider-Man, I'm not sold on. Spider-Man will be one. I sit down with the controller and turn it on and go, wow.
Yep, then you're sold.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. But because I don't have that big attachment to Spider-Man, I'm like, eh. But I know as soon as I play it, I'll be like, fuck it, I'm in. This is great. Days Gone, I haven't seen anything that's blown me away that's like, I've got to get this game.
That's cool.
It looks cool, but...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm sure my hype's a little bit biased, but I'm like, I want to see it.
Detroit and God of War on the other hand.
Detroit on the other hand. Woo-wee!
Yeah.
God of War, we already know what I'm excited about.
I'm excited if we can play Detroit at the same time. Like, we'll have such different experiences, I think. It make really interesting conversation pieces for this. You know, doing the same mission, but how it played out for you, how it played out for me, how it finished. Very cool.
What do you think? What's your thoughts on release dates and Sony seem to be holding them back? Comment below, let us know, all that sort of jargon. Do you think that hype is too real? In other words. But they're all games that we don't know when they're coming out. They could be coming out fucking next week for all we know. But these are the games we do know that are coming out this week. in the drop. That segue went fucking whack back around.
Started well. You tried. Not too much coming out for this week. I'll start at the top. Stop me if you want to talk about anything. Albert and Otto, PS4 Digital. Beholder, Complete Edition, PS4 Digital. Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, Hacker's Memory, PS4 Digital and Retail. Inner Space, PS4 Digital. Kerbal Space Program, Enhanced Edition, PS4 Digital. I want to look more into this game.
Yeah, I've seen it like talked about a lot. Those faces, those two little dudes, look really familiar.
In Kerbal Space Program, take charge of the space program for the alien race known as the Kerbals. You have access to an array of parts to assemble fully functional spacecraft that flies, or doesn't, based on realistic aerodynamic and orbital physics.
Sweet.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Kingdom, New Lands, PS4 Digital. Portal of Evil, Stolen Runes, PS4 Digital. Rento, Fortune, PS4 Digital. Stardrone.
Mart Monopoly.
Stardrone, PSVR Digital. Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, PS4 Digital Update and Retail.
So I just realised that... So Dylan's a big Street Fighter guy and he's only just got a PS4. He can totally jump into Street Fighter V now. I should remind him.
Yeah, I suppose he could.
Wait, that's Capcom, right?
Yes. Lock it in there, sure is. And Vesta, PS4 Digital.
I might send that an email. Like, hey Dylan, surprise.
That's it.
Now make a video about it.
Now get in the studio and make a video, you jerk.
You bastard. Anyways, I forget what happens next.
I say the end spiel. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning on YouTube at 9 a.m. and on iTunes and other podcast services at 8 a.m. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for the show. If the week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
Don't forget, if you want to show your pop culturist love on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop. Get that Popsy shirt that hugs just right. Mm. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.